We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 51 of The Art of Surrender. On this episode, I'm joined by the head coach of Higher Jiu-Jitsu, John Smolios, and one of the Purple Belt students and good friends, Matt Voger-Mason. Both of these guys are returning guests on the podcast, and we did record this right before COVID went into lockdown here in Sydney, but the episode fell a little bit off the priority list as I had an episode to release with the UFC 264 with the MMA-focused episodes with Aaron Morelli, and also the fundraising episode and talk about that and mental health and things like that with Jake O'Driscoll from Essence. So guys, the episode is finally here. Please tune in and I hope you enjoy. And if you're listening frequently, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and give us a follow on Instagram, Art of Surrender Podcast. I'm doing a merch giveaway, so please find that post, like it or comment anything you like. An emoji will be good enough and you'll be in the running for some free merch when we get 500 followers. Cheers, everybody.
I've missed you guys, been on the mats.
Yeah. So yeah, let's start this podcast with a big welcome back for Bradley.
Yes.
To the Higher Jiu-Jitsu ranks in Sydney. And we missed you, Brad. How long were you in Perth for? A couple of years?
Yeah, 2.5 again after being over here.
2.5 years and we were still in touch. We were still chatting all the time. And then it was only a matter of time. He missed us too much. And so here he is back in the flesh. Mr. Bradley Hampson.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, buddy.
It is good to be back. Whereas it's always funny how, like, when I left Sydney, like, I miss what I had here, right? And, like, but you enjoy what you have as well, you know?
All right, So I'd like to know, what were the driving factors in getting you back to Perth from here? Like, what?
Just the career,
how did
really.
It come about?
Yeah, just not enjoying what I was doing career-wise. I was sort of over accounting, tax.
Yeah.
Didn't really like know it at the time though, and then I got back to Perth and it just solidified it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, miss family and things like that as well, of course.
Yep.
I think like future-wise, and yeah, I don't know. Took me back, and then I got back, and then I missed. Obviously, it was amazing. Aside from the work stuff, which I ended up like 5 months in, I was like, I need a spell.
Yeah.
Started just working like a local job for a bit, and that whole time, like I'd made a decision in my mind, like I'm coming back.
Yeah.
I just needed some like space from like career, like resets and stuff. Think about what I want to do.
Yeah, nice.
So that was like one of the biggest things. Like obviously, I missed the jiu-jitsu straight away. Still always in touch with you guys along the way, studying like what's going on. And yeah, like reloaded, took some time, COVID and stuff, like extended my stay back in Perth a bit.
Yeah.
And then took some time, had been like looking for a job at Salesforce for like almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And with COVID and stuff, it held it up. And then Oscar was kind enough to refer me in, and like 95% of their hires are internal references. So that was a huge part
of
it.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
So without Oscar being the connection that I had there, like I almost would have had no chance.
That's very interesting. I really like the sounds of that. At the school, we have a pretty awesome referral policy. So if you bring a friend in, you get $10 off your membership for as long as they're a member.
Mm.
And I think that's awesome because growing from the inside out. So Oscar brings in you, and that's all that needs to be said. Like, you're getting, if you value the people that are in your, around you, in your surroundings now, then chances are their friends are going to be just as awesome as what they are. So it's a much safer bet recruiting internally rather than externally, not knowing who's going to come in, whether they're going to gel with what's currently happening there.
Mm.
So how's it been?
That's certainly their view, but it sounds like you very much relate to that as well from your experience as being the guy who's kind of doing the hiring. Like, do you see that in jiu-jitsu as well?
Yeah, man, for sure. Only now we just started doing some Facebook ads and stuff, but not a lot of the time we've been just really relying on referrals and just Google reviews as well.
Mm.
So people's experiences, they write it in words and then other people can have a look and say, you know, people liked it for one thing or the other. And so it's kind of like you're just showing the work that you're doing, which is pretty cool. So with regards to Salesforce, that's where we're at.
Yeah, sorry. It's just funny how you both relate in different ways, right?
Yeah. So with Salesforce, everyone would just be getting... It'd be so much tighter.
Yeah.
Because you're going in there now as Brad's mate, as Oscar's mate.
Mm.
And Oscar's going to be like, hey, everybody, this is my mate Brad. We did use it together. And then you're just going to, you know, hopefully fit in there. Mm. Because you're riding off Oscar's kind of reputation.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is, right? If someone has a reputation for something and they refer people in, then the people that are coming in...
Yeah, well, everybody... I guess we'll trust you a lot quicker because you're Oscar's mate rather than just being a complete random person. And so that's how they make a better culture within their school organization. So how's it been going? How's Salesforce gone so far?
Yeah, so far so good. Seems to be very, like you left your own devices. Like obviously you get a lot of training and things like that from a technical perspective.
Yeah.
On what they want you to do and how they want you to approach things, but like I'm definitely not being micromanaged and they're very much trusting me to do the right things and to make the right decisions and like I to have a clear understanding that I can always speak to people if I need anything.
That's an interesting balance, I guess, to the point where you want to train somebody so they know what to do, but you also don't want to step on their toes to put, like, you're giving them the freedom to do what they think is right at that particular time.
But within certain parameters as well. So you're like kind of giving them the right direction but allowing them to run a little bit themselves. And so with that approach, like I'm in a sales role, and so most of the clients in my, like my first month, they call it month zero. Not much. So my first, in terms of having from a sales perspective, you have like quotas or budgets you have to meet and things like that. Instead of having month one, two and three where I have budgets, my first month is month zero where I have nothing and it's just completely like learning on the job, shadowing other people, listening to the way that they speak and dial out. And obviously like getting the product knowledge too.
That's beautiful. And then month two, is there a quota?
Well, month one. So when I actually, tomorrow, where this is 30th of June, so I've had a full month now. Month zero. No targets, and now month one, as of tomorrow, I have targets. But the targets ramp up onto up until they get to full quota. So they give you the opportunity to like build and develop into the role.
I have a question. How's it feel, it being 30th of June right now, you're not an accountant, so you're not scrambling away.
Brother, it's still tax time. from a personal perspective, like there's money coming, you know, and it feels exactly the same for me as it does for everyone else.
Right.
But from like a career perspective and whatever, like obviously we'd be gearing up for the people that are like bashing down the doors. But companies and stuff also have their year end, which is mostly what I was dealing with before. Companies
and trust. Now you're kind of looking at it from the outside. You're like, I don't have to do your books.
And it feels, so it feels good. My role is definitely, there's less pressure in that regard. Although we'll see how it feels when I have quotas hanging over me.
different pressure, I guess, right? Still pressure though.
Of course, there's pressure in everything that people do, no matter what it is. Whether it's some person breathing down your neck or if it's technically challenging, whatever it is.
And the thing is...
Or having to take ownership of it yourself wholeheartedly as well. You know, there's pressure in that too. People have their own businesses.
So I feel like I've been reflecting on this and I think pressure is fine when there is a purpose behind it. If you know why you're doing something, then you can, you're so happy to keep going with it. And you're happy to push because you know why you're doing it. So if you tell my mum to exercise and do 30 squats and it's difficult, she'll just look at you like she'll be able to do two, she'll get tired, she'll be like, just leave me alone.
Or maybe she'll just say nothing, she'll be like, just get out of here,
leave me alone.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't really understand the benefits of doing it, so she doesn't care. Whereas if, until you guys do 30 squats, Maddie doesn't stop doing push-ups in class all the time. He's like a dog at the drop of a like...
Just any excuse to do push-ups.
Someone comes in late. 10 push-ups, please, Maddie.
I'll join in. I like push-ups.
Maddie loves push-ups. Why do you like push-ups, though?
because I guess for the longest time I haven't done any exercise outside of jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to just build some form of muscle in a traditional workout sense when the option is presented, fit it in.
Yeah.
Get some additional movement.
Yeah, because you know it's good for you. Correct. So it's like a lot of things. If you know it's good for you, if you enjoy it, if you enjoy the pressure, if you know why you're under pressure, then you're happy to be under pressure in order to perform. And if you don't know why you're under pressure, it's the worst thing. That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of pressure, yeah, I guess at the moment I'm enjoying it from my perspective at Salesforce, and of course, like on the mats as well, the pressure that's being given to me here yeah. and the way that it's delivered, I enjoy. So it's like,
well, yeah, that's
all beautiful. That's very happy with where I'm at right now.
Beautiful, man. Yeah. We're happy with where you're at right now as well, because it's a pleasure to have you, Mr. Bradley, at Hire. Because I'll tell you why. At Hire, we just have some real legends. You know, Maddie's one of them right here.
I do my best.
And here's the thing: like there are people. I don't know if it's a personal thing. Probably yes, and it's also not. Exclusive to me, but people who have a good heart and people who don't want harm for other people and people who aren't resentful, you know, people who aren't spiteful, just good human beings to be around, is what I love right now as I get older. I don't know, again, if it's age or not, but it's really interesting to look at the people around you and see. When I look at the people around me now, I just see a bunch of legends, you know. So we're always hanging out, the crew from Hire and my family, and I genuinely love
everyone that I hang around.
Yeah, of course. And that's really cool. So you're one of those people, Mr. Bradley. Like, it's awesome having you around. And so that's why I'm happy to have you.
It's also fun beating you up.
Back in Hire. And it's fun checking you out.
Matt knows best, I reckon. Like, that's you know, with all things good, like, obviously, my best mate's back in Perth, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I miss training with Mark and with James and with everyone
there. Yeah, they're not going, like...
But yeah, that's the thing. Then I'm, like, building roots everywhere in that kind of way.
Open doors for both of us. Yeah, I'd love to go to Perth and train with the fellas as well.
Absolutely.
And you'd go back to see your family. It's not like, you know, we're stuck here right now.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. Life is good. That's my point, right?
100%.
Got to be happy. Like, you're talking about being older and not wanting to, you know, want to warn people and not resentful people, spiteful people, all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, like, in your life in general. You want to make sure you're filling up all the different areas with all the right things. And I feel like, yes, in the past, I thought I had the career. I had the jiu-jitsu for sure. And then I went home. I found the jiu-jitsu. Is enjoying that, but not enjoying the work and the career and the direction there. So, like, something needed to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've made that change. Now yeah. I feel like I have both. Of course, I'll miss family and stuff, but sometimes you need to be uncomfortable to grow.
Yeah.
And I'm better for doing that. But the first time, after I did it straight out of uni and stuff, came over here never having been to Sydney before.
Yeah.
And then this time, and it was daunting and I was younger and stuff, but this time around, it's like, honestly...
Like
the work pressure's there, of course. There's always like new jobs and stuff have challenges, but that's sort of the other stuff is I have full confidence to just go after it.
Yeah, man.
And just fucking wing it, figure it out, whatever comes up. And I know I have the support as well back home that if I ever need anything or I'm really stuck, like, I'm always sweet. And even over here too.
Yeah, man, most definitely.
Don't have a place to live, I'd be able to find a couch, no problem.
Yeah, you got a pillow? You know? Look at this spot.
Yeah, got the dungeon.
Dude, man. No problems.
We have such a beautiful community.
Sleepy.
Like, yeah, in Sydney, we really do. I mean, how amazing are the people at Hire Jiu-Jitsu? My bike gets stolen.
And yeah, what a beautiful story. Tell that, like, tell the listeners, matey.
So some malacca breaks into my basement car park and steals my electric pushy.
What'd you spend on that, Matt?
And it was a beautiful pushy at that.
It was a beautiful push bike. And I love that. Was like the best purchase I've ever made in my life. I will without a doubt say, as far as like a physical object I could purchase, best purchase I ever made, and then someone stole it.
I think everyone could tell just how proud you were of this bike.
I loved that bike.
And how disappointed he was.
Yeah.
So someone like steals it. And then like a week later, I get surprised that after morning class, Cam comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, Maddie, look at this." I'm like, "What the fuck?" So then he goes, Gray, film this. And I'm like, what the hell? I look at the phone, $2,000 on like a GoFundMe to like replace the bike.
Replace Maddie's bike.
And I'm like, just start crying. It's like, oh, it's like the community is so good.
How much, how much did they end up raising for you?
I think it was like, I haven't checked. I think it was 2-2.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. I think that's...
Which is like 95%, 90% of the bike.
And you know what, Maddie? I'll tell you what. So incredible. It's because like when you come to class, you come to the to class with an open heart as well, you know, and you want the best for everybody, and you know, you're fair with everyone, and you're nice to everybody.
I do my best to be.
You know what I mean? You're not an asshole. And so when bad things happen, then we have, hopefully, you know, we've developed a beautiful community of people around us who, the thing is, like, you don't expect them to help, but they want to do it. So everyone wanted to donate their little share
to help you out. Such a beautiful gesture.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so the credit to both of you fellas, because you're both, you know.
Credit to this environment. Good boys. It's been cultivated, bro.
Yeah. So, yes, Brad, it's good to have you back, mate. It's good to have you back.
Cheers. And so, recently, what have we had? Danny Boy gets his purple belt. That's another legend, right? What's the story behind Danny? Is he the first homegrown purple belt?
This is kind of like the whole, what you were talking about at the very beginning of the podcast. You refer people in. Danny came from me. I mean, technically Leon, but it's like, I lived with Danny 5-6 years ago. He never came in. I was talking to him, going, come on in, bro. Like, obviously, we lived together and I was training at Hyde Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
And then eventually, he came in, you know, like...
And then hasn't looked back since.
And now look at him. He's an absolute fucking monster. Yeah.
just a different person, you know. You'd have a chat with Danny when he first came in. It was hard to get a few words out of him. And now he looks at you, talks to you. He's kind of... He knows what he wants now. Again, I think... Purpose is a big thing, and Danny will speak for himself on this, I'm sure. But that's how I felt when I was younger, and I didn't have like a path to devote all my energy. I had a lot of energy and had a lot of passion, and I wanted to do something awesome with it, and want to help people with it, and be fulfilled, and fulfill other people and help other people. But there wasn't a path for it. And so when Jiu-Jitsu came about, I was like, this is the best shit ever. This is fucking awesome.
There is a path.
This is beautiful, you know? And to be honest, like, straight away, the moment I did it, just probably like you fellas, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I was like, I mean, I should go do Kung Fu. I'm like, maybe I should do Taekwondo instead. I don't know. Like, the moment I started Jiu-Jitsu, I was like, yes, I'm doing this and I'm not stopping. And that's pretty much... That was like Danny as well. When he came in, he took to it, and you know, everyone took to him. Just it was a fit. And probably because he was your mate, and because he was Leon's mate. I think Leon got the referral benefit though. He should fight him for that.
He's still going.
He should claim that.
I'll claim that. I'll take. Do I get like lifetime referrals? So referrals of referrals. I also get $10. Like a branch.
Pyramid scheme.
It would be like a pyramid scheme, right?
The membership's completely paid off, and he's in the brain just raking it in.
Look, it could work. If Danny brings in a bunch of other people, and then the bunch of other people bring in a bunch of other people.
Why shouldn't I get like. I planted that seed.
10 cents per.
It's going to get to a certain.
50 cents per everyone under you.
It's going to get to a certain.
I think I've known Danny when I was 17. Surely I planted that seed.
Look, you raise a good point. And yes, internal growth is really cool. Because Danny. And Danny, look, we've had two other purple belt tests in the school. We had Nico, grade to purple. We had this guy over here, grade to purple, and they both did great jobs. And Danny. Danny's the first one who came in to hire from day one.
True,
and then,
right?
Yeah, but you got everyone's homegrown. We love everybody. But yes, it was a great night to see Danny put up a beautiful test, one that he'd been practicing. One of this guy had been eating a whole bunch of.
I've been copying that for 18 months. Like, pretty much since like before COVID started, like at the beginning of that year, Danny was like, all right, I want to start practicing for my purple. And then COVID hits. But beyond that, it's like, mm-hmm. I've been practicing for that whole time.
Yeah, and you can tell. You were there.
It was such a sharp test.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
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 you were there.
I watched that back. It was beautiful.
I've watched it like four times.
That was a beautiful test.
That was
test.
A phenomenal test. Everyone's on YouTube. It's on our YouTube channel. And I put that up there. It's 27 minutes, but it's a beautiful run through our test through the Purple Belt syllabus of the Pedro Sal curriculum. And it's very interesting because a lot of schools don't have a formal test to do from blue to purple. And a lot of the times, if you're a very good grappler, then you know, you'll just be awarded your purple based
sharp
on time and
giving you belt.
Abilities. And yeah. But I thoroughly enjoy seeing that Purple Belt test come to life. I think it's a phenomenal test. I think the way we layer that up with the white to blue belt, the blue to purple is just a perfect next step. And it's full of just beautiful mechanics and beautiful techniques that require a lot of refinements and a lot of work. So by the time you're at blue belt, just like you, man, so, you know, it's not too far away where, you know, you get your fourth stripe on the blue and then, you know, you get the tap on the shoulder saying, prepare it, get it ready. And by then, the person's already done the time. Danny was, you know, the purple belt wasn't the only thing, the test wasn't the only thing that was riding on the purple belt being given out, right? There were other factors, and he's outstanding the other factors, and the test was also outstanding. So just all these different aspects led to him getting his purple, and a well-deserved purple belt at that. Yeah. So seeing him grapple, my point is, like, seeing him grapple, he puts those mechanics into play. And his idea is self-defense first.
Very tightly too.
Yeah, and now his next step is now just counterattacking and just finding those counterattacks from everywhere. And whilst having built on a sound understanding of his defense and connection, you know, so now he's got his defenses and his escapes. He's controlling. Now he's looking for these counterattacks. And I think that purple belt is going to be awesome. Just like, just for you. It opens up. It opens your brain up. But I've said that with every belt. So the black belt's really opened up my brain too.
How did you feel growing into that one? Like, what at the stage of getting your black belt, what kind of like stuff are you looking at and trying to focus on?
I was a little bit different in that when I was a brown belt, I changed association, pretty much went to a whole new system. And so for me, brown belt felt a little bit like white belt again. I could grapple, but I didn't have a sound understanding of the Pedro Sal white to blue to purple to brown to black. And that was at brown belt. So I kind of had to almost start from scratch a little bit, which is really interesting. And it took a while, you know, but step by step, hours upon hours of work and study and teaching whilst learning and, you know, bit by bit, like, getting there, so...
And learning whilst teaching, really.
Yeah.
Like, even that process with Danny, I taught him a lot of stuff in that syllabus, but he's also taught me stuff that he's learned about it too. So, just by being his uki, he's teaching me as well. It's such a beautiful thing. You're learning together. You're exploring that thing. I don't know, like... That test was beautiful. I like to think of it more of a demonstration. You're demonstrating how well refined your understanding of those techniques are. So it's more of a demonstration than a test.
Yeah, the hard work had been done, and it's time. Here you go, just show it. Here's your opportunity, man.
Show us what you've been working on for this. Yeah. However long you've been working on it.
And it was really cool. And I think to people's points about that not being the grapples. So someone can do that test
go feel Danny.
Be terrible at grappling.
Yeah, no shit. Why don't you slap hands with Danny and get back to us?
Yeah. Well, A, yes, you can do that. But, you already know that he can. That's the stuff that he can definitely do. So it's nice. I was happy to see that test.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a... There's going to be a whole bunch of blue belts coming through the ranks now as well. We've got some solid white belt four stripers. So for the coming months, they're going to be preparing for their tests, and that's how things go, man. Just time's ticking, And we just put every day, we've just been putting in some solid work on the mats. And, you know, the coaches of Fire come in, I come in, Maddie comes in, Oscar comes in, Nico comes in. Danny now is going to start doing some more classes as well. And as we kind of lead class and share, the whole school is getting better.
Mm.
And I'm feeling it. We're seeing it. We're seeing it in that, in the classes, everyone's a lot more knowledgeable and know the steps and are saying the right words and are moving in the right way.
Mm.
Feeling in that when you're grappling with somebody, even, you know, a white belt, they're doing all the things right. You know, like a more experienced white belt, of course. Like, they're learning from the blue belts and from the purple belts and from the brown belts and from the black belts. And so with every wave of students that comes through the school, I think everybody's getting slightly better and better and better.
Yes.
Because if you remember, I'd like you to see, you'll see your test, the blue belts at Brad's test versus the blue belt test, like, of late, for example.
Yeah, no, it's their way higher level.
It was completely different.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's just natural. Yeah,
that's also a testament of, like, where the gym was at that point in time as well. Like, your, you know, even your own growth going up with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's at every level, right? Because you, from an instructor level, like you said, there's more knowledge in the gym, but an instructor, your ability to pass it down as well.
Yeah, on an individual level, I think I'm definitely becoming a better coach. I think Maddie's becoming a better coach. I think we're all becoming better coaches.
Mm.
And collectively, you're seeing all the skills get better as well.
Mm.
And that's a beautiful thing about this school. We have a bunch of legends all getting better at their jiu-jitsu, but also using their jiu-jitsu in order to get better, like, off the mats as well, which I think is most important.
For sure.
You know, and I'm just grateful. So that's what times like these, you know, where, I don't know, 20, 21 stuff. I thought long and hard about how to respond to the second lockdown. And I thought I just have to be grateful for what we have, because it sucks not having it, but we have it. And we have something so beautiful. So I'm happy.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And Maddie, you're going up for, is he going up for brown at the end of the year? I'm not sure if I thought you were or not, but my question is, are you preparing for your brown belt test?
I'm gonna start. Oh, like, my intention is to start. I wanted to finish giving my attention to Danny, and then now the rest of the year is for my own attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's a good way to be. Yeah.
So it's his turn to cop it for a while.
Is he going
to
be your Vicky?
I don't know. That's what I've got to figure out.
Payback, yes, of course. It's an emphatic yes.
But then I also saw a video of brown belts in the association doing their test one for one. So I wonder if, because half of my test is half of Oscar's, I was wondering if we'd go one for one. Okay. So that's what I don't understand. Like, how, like, you're the...
Put him on the spot, ask him live on the airwaves.
Well, I don't know, you don't have to have an answer now. I'm just saying, like, it's your choice. Like, how do you want it done?
Yeah, I'll try to lay the money.
Yeah, right.
No, well, yeah, we can.
So that's what I don't just like, because you could go one for one. I mean, I'm still going to practice with Danny, I guess, is my point. I'm still going to practice.
You still need somebody. Actually, yeah, then you can use Oscar to do the last part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not impossible that can happen. Beautiful. I like it. I like it a lot. So, Mr. Brad, a question for you.
Mm.
Since you've been back, what differences have you seen on the higher of 2 years ago versus the higher of today?
Just the overall understanding.
Up to you, yeah.
Of everyone. Oh, the difference is what? Myself?
The school, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, right.
The overall understanding of just everyone in the gym.
Yeah. New faces, for sure.
Yeah, new faces, of course. I tell you what, the people that I was with when I left, like the core group there, like pretty much is still, everyone is still training. Like I think the drop-off rate is almost nothing.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple, but most of the core people are still there.
Yeah, it's beautiful to know. And they're doing
like the Brendans and the Bennies, Oscar, me. Yeah. That was like a, even Danny, Leon floats in from time to time.
He sometimes.
Yeah, Brendan Byrne when he's in Sydney, he still shows
up. Mr. Byrne is here.
Look, the group's still very similar. The vibes are very much the same. That hasn't changed at all. And now there's just a lot of new faces. And that's like what I see, right? But the jiu-jitsu as well. It's beautiful. Everyone's doing very well. The white belts are definitely a higher level than the white belts going blue, like you mentioned when we were in the first couple of like iterations or waves, however you refer to it, of blue belts.
Yeah.
And that's for like obvious reasons, right? Everyone's just keeps developing. And the expectations probably go up with it as well.
It's because Maddie's spanking them all the time.
Mm. I have to.
Yeah, there's also just a lot more people passing down the knowledge.
Yes.
Just in general.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going well. So yeah, it's very good. Good place to be, boys. What do you want from me?
Nice work.
You have a higher comp coming up, is that right? Internally?
We do, Mr. Bradley. We have the second high jiu-jitsu internal competition for the year, and the first one was great. I thought about it, like, why? It's something I'm doing more for just experience. I want everybody to experience what it's like to put their jiu-jitsu into use, at least in a competition like perspective, and seeing and feeling the nerves, because I think a lot of good things can come from, as we were talking about, the pressure. And the purpose right there. I mean, sometimes when you're in a comp, you're like, why am I doing this? Or if you're having to cut weight for a comp or something, you're like, why am I doing this? But once you go in there and you feel it, and sometimes the answer might be, I'm just there to have fun. You just got to suck it up and just feel the nerves, kind of keep going for it. And then when you do that, you come out of it and you're like, wow, that was awesome. So I want our higher students, because there aren't too many comps around these days. A lot of our students haven't felt what competition is like. Some people are a bit worried about competition. So I thought this internal comp is a good idea just to get some points on the board, you know? Mm. And so I think Maddie said he's going to take on everybody in the whole gym.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All at once.
Yeah, all at once.
Yeah, bring it on.
So there will be lots of fun to be had.
Is that the absolute division or the Punza division?
It's all divisions.
Manny wants all the belts.
Take some necks.
Yes, that was good. And last one, the first one, we had a couple blue belts participate, which was really cool. And hopefully this time around, we have some other blue belts and some other higher belts. Maybe Danny, super fight Danny versus the Punz.
Oh, that's gonna be tough. He's got like 15 kilos on me.
Yeah. It's alright. Start bulking up from now.
That's it. I'm just gonna be on the chocolate diet.
Yeah. Perfect. Lockdown came at the right time.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm just gonna put on the chocolates, and it's gonna be good.
So I'm excited for that. You guys, what's the High Jiu-Jitsu podcast? How's that going? You always still enjoying doing it? I'm still listening to every episode.
Yeah, man. Always, of course.
Always enjoy it.
The High Jiu-Jitsu podcast never dies. It keeps going. Look, we've been a little bit slow, but it's just because we've just been like really busy.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
it's not a bad thing to be. It's just been hard to find the time.
Yeah, and we've added a new kids class. The kids class at High has been going nuts.
Yeah.
That's been beautiful. And we had to add like a third class. So we've got three age groups. And we're starting 15 minutes earlier. So it puts a little bit of a spanner in the works. Yeah, it's just for some days
too hard to squeeze in between.
And so if one thing happens, then we kind of drop it off, but then it's been going great, Brad, and I think it's been a nice little portal and to share some of the philosophy, some of the things that we think about and talk about higher. It's nice doing the podcast, I think, because you get to articulate the things that you're thinking about as well. Have you been enjoying the High Jiu-Jitsu podcast?
Yeah, for sure. I always like tuning in. But it's like, you know, you guys are my mates, so I just enjoy listening to it. But of course, the chats themselves, like, you know, they're very aligned with the way you think, so I enjoy listening to it as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to think they help people. Like,
For sure.
You know, there's so much to the entire journey of jiu-jitsu, not just jiu-jitsu, but everything in life and how we consider everything in life. If we can help with any of that entire journey, I think it's nice.
Well, it's really interesting because something that one person holds dearly, some other person might think is bullshit. So there's different perspectives, different perspectives in life. And so with these different perspectives, it's nice. I'm sure, I don't know, do you tune into podcasts that you disagree with? Not really. You kind of just don't listen to them.
No.
So if we can find a group of people that want to listen to us,
that's what Facebook's for.
Thank you, people.
Mm.
Yeah, like you can kind of pick if you want to jump in or not. But I think we can do jiu-jitsu in a very beautiful way. And I think we have a message to share. And that's a big reason why we're doing it. We're adding value to jiu-jitsu practitioners' lives in that here is a way of doing this beautiful art that is sustainable, that will help you, will facilitate growth off the mat.
Mm.
There are ways to do this art and not do that, right? So you can do this, you can practice this and willingly just be beating yourself up, but you're voluntarily paying the price because that's what you think it's worth. And it might be that for you. Like, just imagine you heard Craig Jones on the potties that he did.
Yeah,
Jerry. Just imagine that guy trains, that the whole squad train, the Danaher Death Squad train, like 7 days. Those guys will be murked like all the time, just completely sore, really, really tired. But they do it because they want to be the best in the world. And that's brilliant. Go right ahead and get it done.
Mm.
And then there's other people who, I think this is the unfortunate part. They want to get good at jiu-jitsu, so they look that way and they think, oh, these people are doing this, so I have to train like this as well. But I think that's where you can go wrong a little bit, because it comes down to the intention. So why are you practicing this art? And if you know why you're practicing it, then you can mold the practice for it to be best for you and your use and the reason why you're doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people come into the art for different reasons than what they are practicing it now. So I came in, for example, to learn to get good at MMA because I wanted to fight in MMA.
Mm.
Ignorantly, you know, like I'd watched a few UFC fights. I was like, I want to do that. So I went in to learn jiu-jitsu. And then I started being a jiu-jitsu competitor, which wasn't really my path where I wanted to go. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. And if some of the people ask themselves, why did they come in here for? Then you'll be able to understand that you're doing it to make your life better. And there's a method to that. It's not, just be nice to people in jiu-jitsu. It's not that easy. Like, there is questions, there's constant problems to think about, to discuss, to consider, which is why it takes 12 years to become a black belt and 13 years and then...
longer sometimes.
Yeah. So that's what I want with the Hyjutsu podcast. And that's, I guess, what we're doing on the mats, just opening up problems and kind of dissecting them and trying to not just give answers, but help people understand how to come to answers for themselves is really important. So it's kind of akin to the Masa Sawa, how he talks about jiu-jitsu. It's like, if you catch a fish for a man, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man how to fish, you can feed him for a lifetime. So when you're sharing jiu-jitsu, when you're on the potty, for example, or, you know, on the mats at higher or here, whatever, helping people learn how to learn is really awesome. And then the way to do that is helping them build awareness of themselves so they can use themselves better.
Mm.
Not just on the mats, but off the mats.
Yeah.
As a way of being. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just...
yeah. It changes people, man.
Yeah. So jiu-jitsu is a portal for that in a way as well. And so...
If that's what's expressed and, like, delivered in these sorts of conversations, right? And on your podcast, you guys kind of, like, pointing the guys in your gym, get women, the men in your gym down that sort of path to like feed it to them, right?
And well, this is the part, like this is our path, and everyone's on their own individual paths, but we're all in this kind of one big river. Some people got their own little rafts on certain parts of it.
Just got to learn how to navigate the river.
But this is the river. Yeah, so I guess the river is jiu-jitsu.
How can you do it in the most sustainable way?
Yeah, but maybe our current in our river of higher jiu-jitsu isn't going as sharp, as kind of as strong.
Yes, a bit slower, but...
As some other places, but it gets like stronger some spots.
Are we in a rush to get there?
Well, that's the thing, we're playing the long game, and a lot of that's a big deal because it changes how things are practiced.
How you approach it, really.
Your approach. And so there's different ways of doing this jiu-jitsu stuff. And I love working on that.
Refining it.
Well, looking... Yes, being curious to do it better. Refining it. So constantly looking for ways to improve on it. Which is the... Yeah. And then also guiding, helping your partners to get better as well. I think that's a big part of it. Which is why I wouldn't... If I had Maddie's leg... And Maddie wasn't tapping, that's why I probably wouldn't ever just go right through it and say, well, it was his fault, he should have tapped. Because I like Maddie. And we're just friends. You know what I'm saying? Like there's something bigger.
Something bigger at play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why I say this, I've been writing an article about it, the sport versus the art.
Okay.
So, hey everybody, tune into the High Jiu-Jitsu podcast and you might come up with an article with an episode soon. But
what's the idea?
Look, in the sport, if I'm playing soccer, football, I want to kick the ball in the net. Okay? In Jiu-Jitsu, I want to get a tap. Okay? So in the sport of Jiu-Jitsu, if I want to win, I want to get a tap. So I'm focused on winning and thus getting the tap. So the way I get the tap isn't as important as me simply getting the tap because I want to win because it's a competition. Whereas if we see jiu-jitsu as an art, maybe in addition to, it doesn't have to be exclusive, but we also see it as an art, then I don't just want to get the tap, but I want to get the tap in the most effective way with the most efficiency possible. Doing it with finesse, making it look beautiful.
Graceful.
That's what I want, and I have the ability to work on that because it's my art, and I'll be doing it for the rest of my life, so I have the time to refine it, to practice it, whereas if it's a sport, I need to win, so there'll be more reluctance to kind of sit back and just try to do it better, so I think that's a big part. Seeing it as a sport, like as an art versus a sport.
Yeah. Interesting way to look at it, hey? It's like different, you know, different people sort of view things in different ways, right? And what do you think made you sort of start to see it like that or try to pursue that sort of direction?
Okay, that's a good question. I thought about it in terms of the benefits to the everyday person. So the everyday person doesn't necessarily want to be a champion, a tournament champion. An everyday person doesn't need all the medals on the wall and all the trophies. An athlete wants them. Awesome. But an everyday person doesn't. So then if we start with the base being what the everyday person kind of wants, like, or just is after, which is so many things, right? So I want to be fit. I want to practice self-defense. Like, I want to be confident. I want to have an outlet. I want a social life.
I want to learn how to armbar someone.
Yeah, like I'm an everyday person. So if you start with that and then you can, from there you can stream off and go into specialized sport fight, like versions, right? So I guess I started higher because I saw a lot of people around me practicing the sport and I just wanted to learn the art form. And then, of course, Yeah, I think that was a big part of it. And then I met Masasawa, who kind of gave me the portal to kind of pursue this and have something tangible. Okay, here is the syllabus of how to do this. Whereas before, I wanted the art form, but I didn't really have the system.
Yeah.
So that was a big step, seeing Masasawa. And like just kind of coming on board with his system. But yeah, I saw where the sport takes people, and it takes people to retirement. If you're in a sport and you're competitive, during my career, you see rugby league players, they can't play rugby league till they're old and grey. There's a retirement age. Okay, I'm too old, I have to retire. Which becomes the sport as well of jiu-jitsu. Like you have to retire eventually. But I don't want to retire, I want to do this forever. So some things have to give.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like I was just thinking about it and talking about it recently, being off the mat. Like when you've trained for a long time or for however long, and when you're really into it, if you take off an extended period of time, whether it's through injury or through whatever, like you realize how, like I missed it, man. Like I really wanted to train, was unable to.
Yes.
And then you realize then, like, it's just a matter of being able to continue to make sure you can train in a way so you can stay on the mat.
Well, that's my exact point right there. I think the reason why I thought like that too was because of a big injury forced me off the mats where I couldn't have it. And so you look back as like you right now. So when you looked back and you had to spend a whole bunch of time off the mats, what was most important to you? What did you miss the most?
Just being on the mat.
Yeah.
Like literally.
What else? Give us more.
Well, having the ability to be on the mats, the outlet that goes with it, the positive impacts it has in my life, the health, the fitness, the people, just every aspect of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like always thinking something, like I'm trying to solve the problems, and you can study as much as you want when you're unable to train, but at a certain point, it's like you want to be thinking about what's actually happening as well, like from your roles or from the class, feeling something that you're actually doing on the mats. Moving around with people, the actual feeling of it. You can watch it, but at a certain point in time, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
You need to be on the mat.
That's why Zoom classes are really tough for jiu-jitsu. But that's a big reason why. But you want to feel it, you want to practice it. And when you can't do it, it really hurts. Because it's a part of you, it's in you. And it's a strategy for life, right? A framework for life. So when we practice jiu-jitsu, we kind of use that as something to understand life better with. And once you understand why you're doing it, I think that's when you can make it better for yourself, which is what we've been saying, right? So
if the goal is to practice jiu-jitsu for your lifetime, if that's your aim, or your aim is to learn it, practice the art, because you win by staying on the mats for your lifetime rather than winning for the
That's a win in and of itself. That's self-defense,
that's,
right?
That's just being able, preserving that's yourself. Winning, being able to stay on the mats. I don't care about a tap in the gym or even in a competition. If I get caught, I get caught. Like, I'm going to yield when it's the right time, because I want to be able to stay on the mats and keep doing this. For me, that's winning.
Yes.
So that's why we practice the art.
Chris Howitzer, I referenced it in one of our potties. He had a really great quote, and he goes, "Think street, practice art, train sport," something of that nature. And it's really great. And so if you understand the balance, then the practice gets better and better. Yes.
It comes together in a beautiful, balanced.
Guys, we could go for days. We're only 50 minutes in. I was expecting at least an hour, but boys, the rolls, the fun that we had, went on a little bit too much, and my physio's actually at 6:15.
A quarter past?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a brief look at my calendar.
Okay.
So I'm
on our way then.
I'm going to have to wrap it up.
Hey, everybody. Out of surrender. Fun, keep going. Cheers, Mr. Bradley, keep going. You're a legend. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, welcome back.
Love you all.
Let's get
come
back.
Train.
Let's get back on and do another one soon. We can continue talking and just following wherever it goes, guys. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Please, if you're this far in, subscribe to my podcast. I would really appreciate it if you did. helps a lot. And also to John and Matt, you can subscribe to the Higher Jiu-Jitsu podcast as well and check that out, and even jump on the Instagram account and give them a follow as well. And people, if you're not following my Instagram and you're hearing this podcast, good on you for finding it without going through the Instagram account. But if you've come this far, can also like the Instagram and comment on the recent post, you can win a free rash guard and pair of shorts I'm trying to give away at 400 followers. I need some support to get there.
Hey, hey.
Sign up.
Thank you. Sign up, Weas.
Cheers, everybody.
Listen out. Thanks, Brad.